Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. I want to draw your attention this evening to a very familiar text of Scripture, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. In Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, the Lord Jesus, of course, is sitting on the Mount of Olives, teaching the people the Word of God. The message that the Savior proclaims in these chapters is commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus here in this sermon teaches many solemn truths that even the simplest of minds can understand. Indeed, the people were so astonished with Christ's doctrine that after the Savior had finished preaching, the hearer declared that Christ taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You see, the Son of God spoke in a language that the common people could identify with. And although many rejected his message, there was one who went away. There was no one who went away from hearing Christ preach who did not understand what the Savior was saying. He spoke clearly, and he spoke plainly, and he spoke dogmatically. In our text tonight, a very familiar text, I'm sure, to most of us, we have one of those clear, plain statements which the Lord Jesus made in the course of his Sermon on the Mount. This evening, I want you to consider these words in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And I want you to see exactly what the Lord Jesus was seeking to teach the people from these words. And I want us all to remember, as we consider this text of Scripture, that it is the Lord Jesus Christ here that is speaking. These words were not spoken by a minister. These words were not declared by a church or denomination, but these words were spoken by the Son of God himself. Therefore, we're coming to deal with words that are true, words that are eternal, words that are solemn, words that are infallible, words that are everlasting. And my friend, if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, I want you particularly to listen very carefully to what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here. Remember what Jesus said on one occasion. He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever." Therefore, I pray tonight that God will take his word and burn it within your heart and burn it within your soul. First of all, I want you to notice the simple teaching of Christ in the text. The Lord Jesus in this portion of Scripture is simply teaching that there is a heaven and that there is a hell. Now, I know in this 21st century, many do not believe, the majority do not believe that there is a heaven or a hell. But the Lord Jesus Christ in this text of Scripture is simply teaching us that there is a heaven and a hell. Look what the text says. "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life." The Son of God, when he was in his public ministry upon this scene of time, taught the people clearly the reality of heaven and hell. Time and time again, Christ set before his hearers these two great doctrines, these two great truths. Indeed, if you study the preaching of the Savior in the Gospels, you will learn that the Lord Jesus continually brought these great truths of heaven and hell before those who listened to him. If you're not saved tonight, I pray that God will write these truths upon your heart this evening. My friend, there is not only a heaven to gain, but there is a hell to shun. And the Son of God himself, the blessed Savior of the world, when he walked upon this scene of time, he taught simply, and he taught clearly, and he taught dogmatically that there was a heaven and that there was a hell. Now, time would not allow me this evening to go through all the different passages that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about heaven and hell during his public ministry. But let me just point out a few of them. First of all, Christ preaching about heaven. Matthew 4 verse 17, for example. Jesus said, "For that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And in Mark chapter 12 verse 34, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And in Luke 18 verse 17, again the Savior said, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not in no wise enter therein." Therefore, time and time again, not only in Matthew chapter 7, but throughout our Lord's public ministry, as he preached the word, he continually reminded men and women and those who listened to him that there was a heaven to gain. Indeed, we're so familiar with those words in John chapter 14 when the Lord Jesus spoke about the mansions above. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." So heaven, as far as the Son of God is concerned, is a reality. Is a reality. But of course, not only did the Savior preach about heaven, but he also preached about hell. Not only here in Matthew chapter 7, but throughout his ministry. For example, in Matthew 10 verse 28, Jesus said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." He said to the Pharisees on one occasion in Matthew 23 verse 33, "How shall ye escape the damnation of hell?" And it was the Lord, of course, in Luke chapter 16, a portion of scripture that we were considering this morning, that told the story about the rich man who died and went to a lost eternity. And also in Matthew chapter 5, we could go on and we could quote text after text after text during our Lord's earthly ministry where he spoke about hell. Matthew 5 verse 29 says, "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." So the Lord Jesus, when he walked upon this scene of time, and here in Matthew chapter 7, he's simply teaching again that there is a heaven and that there is a hell. My friend, I wonder, you're in this meeting tonight, listening to this message this evening, I wonder, have you ever stopped and considered your eternal destiny and where you're going to spend eternity? Because be sure of this truth. Once the last breath is taken from your body, you will enter into God's heaven or you will enter into God's hell. And that's why it is imperative for you to be saved and born again of the Spirit of God. And I would impress upon you tonight to make your calling and election sure, to make your peace with God, and to come this evening and trust the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer. Now I want you to notice a few things here. What does Christ teach us about heaven and hell in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14? Well, keep your Bible open there. And let me emphasize a number of things just before we move on. First of all, the Lord Jesus here teaches that many are traveling to hell while few are traveling to heaven. Look what it says in the text. "Wide is the gate, broad is the way, many there be which go in thereat. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, few there be that find it." Now, the truth that the Lord Jesus is emphasizing here is that many are traveling the broad road to a Christless eternity, and few are traveling to heaven. But notice something else. He teaches also that the road to hell leads to destruction, while the road to heaven leads to life. In verses 13 and 14, again, these truths are set forth clearly for us to see. Look what the Savior says here. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. So at the end of a Christ rejecter's life, he ends up in destruction. At the end of a life that's saved and born again of the Spirit of God, praise God, the end of that road is heaven and life eternal. But notice something else. He also teaches here that heaven and hell are the only destinies for mankind. The Lord Jesus, in this portion of Scripture, he never speaks about purgatory. Never once does the Lord Jesus speak about another place. In all his sermons, in all his words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke when he walked upon this scene of time, the Son of God never spoke about another place but heaven and hell. My friend, the truth is this. Here we have the Son of God speaking himself, the blessed Savior. And here the Lord Jesus, as he speaks the truth of the gospel, he emphasizes to us heaven and hell. I wonder tonight, my friend, as you sit in this gospel meeting, as you're under the sound of God's precious word, have you ever prepared for heaven? And have you ever fleed from the wrath which is to come? These old gospel truths, of course, are not popular in this 21st century. Nevertheless, although it is not a popular message that we have to declare, it is God's word, and it is the words of the Son of God himself. And that's why it is imperative for you to make preparation for the great eternity. We sang that hymn a moment ago, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? Oh, my friend, what a challenging question that is for each and every one of us. And I know in this day and age in which we live, we don't like to think about death and we don't like to think about eternity. And yet, the Word of God continually draws our attention to these truths. And the Son of God himself, in his public ministry, continually drew the people's attention to where they were going to spend eternity. All this simple teaching in the text, as far as the Son of God is concerned, he taught clearly and he taught simply that there was a heaven and that there was a hell. But notice something else here. I want you to notice not only the simple teaching of Christ in the text, but I want you to notice the solemn warning of Christ in this text. What is the solemn warning of the Savior here in Matthew 7, 13 and 14? Well, the solemn warning is this, that men are falling into hell on a daily basis. And if you sinner go on in your sin, then you will fall headlong into a Christless eternity. Look what it says there. Many there be which go in thereat. I want you to underline that little phrase, which go in thereat. Century after century, decade after decade, year after year, month after month, week after week, day after day, moment after moment, even second by second, every Christ rejecter who has died has fallen into hell itself. And the Savior here is sounding out a solemn warning to all those who go in life's journey rejecting his way of salvation. And if they refuse to turn from their sin, then they will be lost and they will be lost forever. I wonder, did you ever stop to think about that? Maybe you're here tonight and you've said, under the sound of the gospel now for many years, you're still not saved. My friend, have you ever seriously considered where you're going to spend eternity? What a solemn thought it is to be lost forever and forever and forever. You know, the Bible tells us, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Do you ever think about the day, the moment, when you will leave this scene of time and go out into God's eternity, out into hell itself? Oh, I pray this evening that God, the Holy Spirit, will take His Word and burn it within your heart and within your soul. You know, there's a great fear in the land tonight. And parents fear for their children because of this virus. And rightly so. We must be concerned. And yet the sad reality is this, that many parents who fear for their children's physical well-being have no concern whatsoever about their children's spiritual well-being. And they never stop to think that the child in the home will grow up without Christ and die and be lost forever and forever and forever. I know parents tonight who are concerned. And yet, they would never allow their children to go to a gospel meeting. They would never allow their children to come under the sound of God's truth. And they never come under the sound of God's truth themselves. Oh, my friend, there's something worse than physical death, and that's eternal death. And the Lord Jesus Christ here in this text of Scripture gives a solemn warning to all those who continually go on willfully rejecting His way of salvation, willfully saying no to His plan of salvation. Many there be which go in the rat. Do you ever think of the moment when you will die and go out into the great eternity? The Bible says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. We say that lovingly to you today because it's the truth of the gospel. And here we have the Savior Himself, the Son of God, preaching and declaring this truth to all those that are listening to Him on this particular occasion. And as we have emphasized already, this was not a one-off, but continually throughout our Lord's ministry, He continually warned men to flee from the wrath which is to come. That's why I would urge upon you tonight to seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. Proverbs 1 verse 29 says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And that's why you this night need to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Oh, thank God we have a message. A wonderful message. A message that can save from hell and from judgment to come. And that message is the cross. And thank God the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven and He went the whole way to Calvary. And there upon Calvary's cross He died the just for the unjust that He might bring us to God. And praise God, not only did He die and shed His precious blood upon Calvary's cross, but He rose again triumphantly of the tomb. And thank God this night, sinner, if you would but come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Thank God you could leave God's house tonight, knowing that you're on your way to heaven, and knowing that you would never be in hell, and knowing that your sins were forgiven. Oh, what a wonderful message we have to declare. Thank God tonight, Christ Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. I wonder, have you ever considered the fact that you're lost? The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one." And we are lost, but praise God, you can be saved tonight. And you can have your sins forgiven tonight. And praise God, you can leave this house this evening, knowing that heaven is your home, and knowing that your sins, which are many, are all washed away in the blood of the Lamb. But notice something else here. I want you to notice not only the simple teaching of Christ in the text. He taught that there was a heaven and a hell. And not only the solemn warning of Christ in the text. Many there be which go in thereat. But I want you to notice the strong pleading of Christ in the text. Look what it says at the beginning there of verse 13. And I want you to underline these words in your Bible. "Enter ye in at the straight gate. This strong plea that Christ makes here speaks, first of all, of urgency. The sinner is not to delay. Maybe there's someone here tonight and the Lord has spoken to you many times before. You know your need of salvation. And you would even go as far as to say, "Preacher, someday I intend to get saved." My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ here as He preaches this message, He urges upon the people the urgency of getting right with God now. Enter ye in at the straight gate. The Bible says, "Today, if ye hear His voice, harden not your heart." Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You should never put off to tomorrow what you have to do today. Oh, I would plead with you tonight. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Come to Christ tonight. Trust the Savior this evening. Turn from your sin now. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until next week. Don't wait until another more convenient season. Because, my friend, it might never come. That's why the Bible exhorts us to seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. There's an urgency here. But notice something else. This strong plea that Christ makes here speaks of diligency. In other words, seek until you're sure you have found God's salvation. Thank God, all those who seek will find if they seek with all their heart. Oh, I pray tonight that you will seek until you find. Look at verse 7 of Matthew 7. "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Praise God tonight. If you come this night and take the sinner's place before God and kneel by faith at the foot of the cross and cry unto God for mercy, the Lord will hear your cry. The Lord will not cast you off. The Lord is merciful, slow to anger, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we thank God tonight for the wonderful invitation of the gospel, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, have you ever called upon the name of the Lord? Have you ever cried unto Him for mercy to save your precious, never dying soul? I pray tonight that the Lord will take such a dealing with your heart that even this moment, even as you sit in the pew where you're sitting, that you will cry unto God for mercy and salvation. Because you can be saved even before you get out of the pew, even before we sing the last hymn, even before you go out through the door tonight. Thank God, in the pew where you're sitting, if you seek the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, thank God tonight the Lord will save you for time and for eternity. Oh, this strong plea that Christ makes here speaks of urgency, and it speaks of diligency, and it speaks of simplicity as well. Sinner, all you have to do to receive God's salvation is to enter in through the narrow gate, which means coming to Christ and putting your faith in Him. Look what it says. "Enter ye in at the straight gate." Come and enter in through Christ tonight. You know what the Lord Jesus said on one occasion? He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Not a wonderful text of Scripture? Oh, thank God tonight we don't point you to the church. We point you to Christ, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. We often sing that lovely hymn, "Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in Thee." And I pray tonight, as you listen to the message of the gospel, that you will look beyond the preacher and look beyond the church and look to Christ. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Just come as you are, the simplicity of the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved tonight. You know, the greatest night in my life, indeed the greatest night in any Christian's life, is the night, the day, the moment when they were saved by the grace of God. And you know, it's a time that we'll never forget. I'll never forget, as a boy of 13 years of age, walking into that tent in 1976, on the 13th of September, a sinner, under conviction of sin. I didn't know much. I couldn't have quoted you two or three verses out of the Bible. I didn't know much about the Scriptures. But I knew this. I knew I was a sinner. I knew that Jesus Christ had died for sinners. And I knew that He would save me. I believed He would save me if I called upon Him. And that night, as the preacher declared God's Word, and God spoke to my heart again, that night was the night when I called upon the Lord. I can remember getting down at the pew after the meeting was over. I can remember crying unto God for mercy to save me and to forgive me and to have mercy on me. And you know He did. He did. My friend, He'll do the same for you. Come tonight in childlike faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And tonight, under the sound of the gospel, the Lord would draw near, and the Lord would speak to your heart. I believe that the Lord is still speaking in these days, and He wants to save you, and He wants to redeem you. And this is what the Lord would say to you tonight. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Come tonight. Come believing. Come turning away from your sin. Come and seek me. And if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. And praise God, He will give you everlasting life. And He will save your soul for time and for eternity. I wonder tonight, will you come? Will you come just as you are? Will you come and trust Him? We sung the hymn earlier, only trust Him, only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. But remember this, there is a heaven and a hell. And the solemn truth is this, that every day that we live upon this earth, there are those falling headlong into a Christless eternity. That's what Jesus said. But praise God, all who come and trust Him as their Savior, when they die, will enter into heaven and home forever. May God bless His word to all of our hearts.